Marcia, that was not a chink in the service. Okay. I welcome those who want to express what's going on in their lives in the service. We're flexible. This is a worship for all of us to bring our hearts to God, and that was beautiful. You know, well done. I don't think I've ever heard that, but I wish I had. You looking forward to Thanksgiving?
Yes.
Yeah? You have people to be with? Food to eat? Yeah. I don't know about you, but wherever we are, when we meet on Thanksgiving, whether it's the Sunday, Saturday or Sunday before or after, doesn't have to be on the day. But usually when you're sitting around the table, there's some activities that happen, one of which is counting your blessings, right? Have you ever sat around the table and said, okay, everybody say something you're thankful for, right? And you will get a one-word answer, usually, and you can almost tell what the list is going to be. Right? What are some of the things that you will expect to hear around the table that someone is thankful for this week? Health?
My family.
Family?
Home.
Oh, y'all don't have anything?
Grandchildren.
What? Friends? Did I hear somebody say friends? Okay. Jesus and our salvation. You know, those are things that we should be thankful for. But as it says in the bulletin, Thanksgiving is not an event. It is a habit. Sometimes there are things that we have so, I want to use the word ubiquitous, if you know what that means. It means it's just so necessary, it just always is. One thing that we have joked about is a video that we saw a long time ago. This is so old, we saw it on TV, on America's Funniest Videos, okay? And it was around a table, and someone had asked one of the young girls if she wanted to pray, and she did. She was very anxious to pray. That's a beautiful thing, isn't it? But she wasn't praying for her home and for her friends and for her family. She started off and she said, "Dear Jesus, I thank you for our silverwares and for our plates and for the table and for our tablecloth." And and she started going down all these things where you're thinking, well, what, girl, somebody forgot to give you some instructions here, what you're supposed to say. Let's just start with the first one, silverwares. You know, the majority of people in this world do not eat with silverware. They don't. When's the last time you thought, God, thank you for silverware? The only time I thank God for silverware is actually when I'm thanking him for my dishwasher. Right? But that's not thanking him for the silverware, that's thanking him I don't have to wash my silverware. That's hardly a thankful attitude, is it? But Thanksgiving isn't a holiday we visit, it's a habit that we live. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't pray the prayers that we listed before, but what my challenge is to myself and to all of us is to, let's go deeper, shall we? Because when we do, we find that there's a difference between polite thankfulness and transforming gratitude. Transforming gratitude. Because within that transforming gratitude, we find ourselves closer to Jesus. We find ourselves closer to seeing who we are and what he wants to do through us. We're blessed to have the holiday of Thanksgiving. Just to remind us. And you say, well, we forgot a little bit and we have to be reminded. Oh no, we're bad. We have to be reminded. No! Thank God we get reminded. But as we get reminded, we also get reminded of those who may not have everything that we have. Now, in our scripture, in verse 11, we see that Jesus is walking the borderlands. He's between Galilee and Samaria. Now, You know from the story of the Good Samaritan that Samaritans were not viewed well. In fact, just walking through their area would cause a question of whether you'd be allowed in the temple or not. You imagine in that day someone saying, "Hey, I didn't see you in temple today." And someone saying, "Well, I had to walk through Samaria." "Oh, okay, I get it. You were unclean." But Jesus always walks the borderlands. He always looks for the ones who are downtrodden. He always seeks the one rather than staying with the 99. It is his nature to seek and save the lost. So he is at the borderlands, and we shouldn't be surprised if he still is, because he walks the line between acceptable and unacceptable. He is always there. And that's exactly where suffering gathers all kinds of people and destroys barriers. This is a story where 10 lepers approach Jesus. He's getting ready to go into a village. And here are the Judaic rules for leprosy. Leprosy is extremely contagious. Thank God this Christmas that we don't deal with leprosy in the United States, right? When's the last time you thought about that? Here's what the lepers had to do. If they were traveling somewhere, they had to make sure everyone else kept distance from them. How would you like it if you wanted to go get a coffee downtown, that as soon as you got out of your car, you had to call out in your loudest voice, "Unclean! Unclean! Unclean!" So if there were visitors on the sidewalk, they would part and make way for you and not catch your disease. And so you see why when they approach Jesus, they don't just walk right up and say, "Master, you know, do something for us." They're from a distance calling out, "Master!" You know, it's not that they're afraid to come to Jesus, they're following the law. If you really want a picture of Jesus on the borderlands, it's this. There was once a leper that came to him, and he touched him. But leprosy is of no respect, is no respecter of borders. We know from the end of the story that the one who came back was a Samaritan, but there were undoubtedly Jews in the group too. Where did he tell them to go to prove that they were clean? To the temple in Jerusalem. Well, who else would be going there but Jews? You see, the leprosy had destroyed the dividing line between Jew and non-Jew, acceptable and unacceptable. And suddenly, those who used to be acceptable were no longer acceptable. And by the way, the only way they could survive is if their family brought them food. They're not even allowed in the market. But how do you know when you're healed? We go to a doctor, and then we, you know, can survey our own bodies. We have our own self-awareness, and then we can be pronounced as healed. Okay? Then, if you had a skin disease, you had to go to the priest, and the priest would say, "No, you are still unclean," or, "Yes, this is a different type of thing. You are healing. You can now return to your house, your family, your profession, maybe even your status." And that's what these lepers desired when they came to Jesus. They had heard about this man, Jesus. And by the way, when you got leprosy, there was very little hope. Very little hope. So they call out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us." And Jesus doesn't walk over to them or do anything else. He just says, "Go to the temple and show them. Show the priests as the law requires, and you're healed." So they're obedient. They take off. They start moving. Now remember, Jesus was coming up to a village, right? Jesus had said, go and show yourself to the priests. They have to walk back through the village going, unclean, unclean, unclean. Sometimes we need to tear something. We have to experience something painful to tear down the walls that we have built. And crisis will often create clarity. But in this cry for mercy, the lepers, I want you to note first, they cry out together. Made strange bedfellows for them to cry out together, Jew and Samaritan, Jesus, save us. Jesus, have mercy on us. And let me tell you today, it's the same for every single one of us. Some people think that the church is a club that you belong to when you're clean and holy. It's exactly the opposite. We are the unclean calling out to Christ to cleanse us and to make us whole again. Aren't we? Isn't that the kind of week you had, Marcia? Well, I thought you said you were a Christian. You see the view that some people have, even people that sit in the pews. We need to cry out to Him for our salvation. So the lepers cry out together, and thus we do too. The cultural boundaries before are irrelevant. The economic boundaries are irrelevant. The religious experience is irrelevant if you have leprosy. The shared brokenness brought them together. Now, we are a people who seek holiness, but that's not really what binds us together. What binds us together is our shared brokenness. There was one church where I was sitting down visiting with someone who was considering coming to the church, and I knew they were broken. They were coming out of addictions and everything else, and someone from the church was sitting with me. I said, yeah, you'd be welcome here. We're all broken in this church. And I could hear a gasp from church lady. You see, when we don't recognize our brokenness, all we've got is separation. Right? Why should we even care? Because Psalm 34:18 says this, the Lord is near the brokenhearted. You were brokenhearted this week, but the Lord is near. The Lord is near for all of you. Some of you are looking at maybe a Thanksgiving alone. Some of you may be looking at a Thanksgiving in need. The Lord doesn't show up at the best houses with the most food. The Lord shows up at the houses where people are in need. And that's why we should look too. Sometimes we get to be the personal representation of Jesus for someone. If you really want to experience a great Thanksgiving, ask someone who is in danger of being alone on Thanksgiving and see if they're going to be with somebody today. And if they're not, be prepared to ask them to come. I want you to notice something that, you know, Jesus has so many ways to meet people where they are. You know, He doesn't just heal them instantly. They get healed on the way. But the nine who didn't return to Jesus thought that they would be healed either just before or at the temple. But the one who came back had a self-awareness. Now, this is really important, that we have a self-awareness of what God is doing in us. I have a suspicion that they were all the way through, and you know, after that, maybe this person just looked and said, oh, that is so humiliating. I can't wait to get rid of this. I'm free. I'm healed. And it says that his response was that he turned around to go back. But he didn't just turn around and go back. It says that he was loudly praising God. So now this person who had to warn people to split like the ocean in front of him is now running back through the city, not saying, unclean, unclean, but miracle of God, miracle of God, I'm healed. So that self-awareness of what he was and what he now is brings a fountain of praise. And it wasn't just the joy in him, but it was for the people around him that knew. And you talk about a Thanksgiving Day. I don't know what village they were in, but Thanksgiving Day came that day for him and his family and that village, and undoubtedly for the hearts. Doesn't that make your heart sing?
Amen.
Because he is now free. But what happened was, gratitude grows the best when you're on the journey. Doesn't mean that you have to be healed. It doesn't mean that everything has to be perfect. But what it means is you have that heart of gratitude, and we've gone from simply the polite thankfulness to the transforming power of thankfulness to God and recognition of what God has done for us. Because Thanksgiving isn't a holiday that we visit, but it's a habit that we live, it begins at the moment that we see God's mercy moving in us. They obeyed while they were still unclean. There are times where we are called to praise even though we're in the thick of it. Maybe the worst week of the year or the worst year of your life. Don't sit back and say, I can't be that thankful this year because things are hard right now. Jesus says, be thankful in the midst of the hard. So I ask you to plumb the depths of thankfulness, not just for the things that are going good. You know, but there are things that we just take absolutely for granted. Did any of you have clothes to choose from this morning? Did you have more than one option of what you wore to church today? Oh, you're blessed. Did you either go to a fridge maker or a coffee maker or turn on a stove and cook something on pans that you didn't make? And then put them in a sink where you're going to wash them. And maybe stick a glass under the water and drink it. Now, it may not taste great here, but we know it's not going to kill us, right? Or make us sick. I trust that everybody here has some form of shoes on. Okay, good. I was really worried about you, Jared. So, yeah. Do you get what I'm talking about? I see lots of people with eyeglasses on. And many of us who have had corrective eye surgery. Do you know how unusual that is in the world? Even just eyeglasses? Lions Club collects eyeglasses. There are people that would be thankful for secondhand eyeglasses. I'm thankful for a sharp razor. Some of you should be more thankful for it, guys. But this thankfulness compels us to action, and it compels us to speak. Healing comes on the way. Tozer said, faith is not a once and done act. Okay? Let's not treat Thanksgiving like it's a one and done act, because he says this. If it is not accomplished by action, I'm sorry, I'm reading the wrong thing, but it's a constant gaze of the heart toward God. And that's why it's important. Not because it makes us feel better, but because it orients us to our God. The one I wanted to replace it with was James 2:17. In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Their faith was turning and going toward Jerusalem. So as they walked, something happened. Something worth shouting about, but only one of them noticed. Only one. Now we know that they were healed. Why? Because Jesus said, weren't all 10 healed? Jesus expects that all 10 were healed, but only one came back to say thank you. I want to highlight something here. I do not believe that the other 9, missing what had happened to them, didn't get healed. God is willing, in His great goodness and His great grace, to let His blessing rest upon all of those who don't even stop to say thanks. What kind of God would He be if on the way there, when they suddenly realized that they were healed, but they didn't go back, and then all of a sudden the next day, sorry, you didn't say thanks at the right time, you're not healed. You're not healed. It wasn't that hard, was it? The one came back and just simply came and said, thank you. The turning point was his awareness. Okay? I think because of what I've seen in this scripture, I'm going to be a lot more detailed and a lot more thankful this Thanksgiving than I have been before. Because I'm much more aware now of all the blessings that we have, but mainly so the goodness of the God that gives it to us, that wants His children to be blessed, that wants us to have good things, and to be good things, and to feel good things. And sometimes we try to replace it. When he saw he was healed, he became back. He came back. So we seek to see so that we also might come back. Wiersbe said this, the heart that forgets God's blessing soon stops worshiping. That bears saying again. The heart that forgets God's blessings soon stops worshiping. Our gratitude moves us to action, but it also compels us to run through the town and speak. Speak of God's glory. Some people say, oh, I can't do evangelism. Don't do evangelism. Do gratefulness. Speak of the goodness of God. Take inventory of all He has done and let it change your heart, and then people will see that there's a difference and they can ask you. And all you do is you say, let me tell you what He's done for me. I was in the depths this week, but He was still available. He was closer than my own breath is to my own face. But I just had to realize it. That's evangelism. That's spreading the word of God. There was loud praise and public gratitude. It's kind of like, imagine, have you seen the videos of people who have finished their cancer treatments? They don't let them just walk out of the hospital. Did you know that? Bing, 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 bing. And everyone applauds, and then there is great celebration. When we see God moving in us and through us, there should be great celebration, because it's recognition of the hardest fight that humanity will ever face, and that is the giving of life over death. Those who are condemned are now free. Those who are oppressed are now released. And that is worth celebration every single day. It should be loud praise, it should be public praise, and public gratitude. Here's Psalm 103, 1-5. Let me put it in a nutshell. It says, bless the Lord who heals all your diseases, including that disease of sin and death. Hallelujah. Amen. It is done. I wouldn't even know how to begin treating it, but God did. And not only did He know how to treat it, He did it. He was sent, Jesus. This pushes our look forward to Christmas, the first Advent. God with us. By His stripes, we are healed. Loud praise we will sing. But then Jesus asks a question that really cuts to the heart. He asks, weren't there 10? Where are the other 9? Don't misunderstand. Jesus isn't begging for thanks. What he is hoping for is the wholeness of the people who are healed. They still got their healing, but they missed the best part without coming back. He's not begging for the thanks. He doesn't have this ego that says, well, this is a pretty great thing. Y'all need to acknowledge that. That's not what it's about. It's the fact that when God's gift moves us, it is a tragedy when it remains just, when we remain unaware of it. That is the tragedy of it. It says we're not all 10 cleansed. But one came back and thanked, and what he got was wholeness, completeness. And here's the best part of what he got. At the beginning of the story, they were forced and compelled to keep their distance from Jesus. But no longer for him. Because it says when he came back, he fell at Jesus' feet. And that means that he was touching him. Yes, let's be thankful for the turkey. And yes, let's be thankful for health and our homes and our family and our friends. But there is more that will bring us to the feet of Jesus. And that, my friends, is the greatest thanksgiving of them all.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for the one who came back so we don't miss that message. Worship team, would you come forward? We just simply can't offer thanksgiving for gifts that we no longer notice. You can't. You can't be thankful for things if you don't notice. And we cannot praise God for mercies that we have forgotten. So at this particular time, let us remember the mercies of God in whatever form that they take. Let's not be the church among the 10 that didn't come back, but be the one who did. Because Thanksgiving isn't simply a holiday we visit, but Thanksgiving is a habit that we should live. Amen.